The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter Number 1, Text Number 24, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on February 18th, 2015, in Austin, Texas, USA.
Thereafter he passed through wealthy provinces like Surat, Salvirya and Matsya, and through western India, known as Kuru Jangala. At last he reached the bank of the Jamuna, where he happened to meet Uddhava, the great devotee of Lord Krishna. This is 3.124 Bhagavatam. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The tract of land comprising about 100 square miles from modern Delhi to the Mathura district in Uttar Pradesh, including a portion of the Gurgaon district in Punjab, East India. It's considered to be the topmost place of pilgrimage in all of India. This land is sacred because Lord Krishna traveled through it many times. From the very beginning of his appearance, he was at Mathura in the house of his maternal uncle Kamsa, and he was reared by his foster father, Maharaj Nanda at Vrindavan. There are still many devotees of the Lord lingering there in ecstasy in search of Krishna and his childhood associates, the gopis. It is not that such devotees meet Krishna face to face in that tract of land, but the devotees eagerly searching after Krishna is as good as his seeing him personally. How this is so cannot be explained, but it is factually realized by those who are pure devotees of the Lord. Philosophically, one can understand that Lord Krishna and his remembrance are on the absolute plane, and that the very idea of searching for him at Vrindavan in pure God consciousness gives more pleasure to the Lord than seeing him face to face, more pleasure to the devotee than seeing him face to face. Such devotees of the Lord see him face to face at every moment, as confirmed in the Brahma Samhita 5.38. Premanjana charita bhakti valochanena santaksadai vrahidayeshu valokayanti yang shama shundra machyant yuganasvarupam govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. Those who are in the ecstasy of love with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Shamsundar, Krishna, see him always in their hearts due to love and devotional service rendered to the Lord. Both Vidura and Uddhava were such elevated devotees, and therefore they both came to the bank of the Jamuna to meet each other.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragnatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharvine Divishesha Shunyavadi Pashyajadishatarvine.
So this purport is absolutely amazing. Why do I say that? Well, let's look at it here a little more carefully. There are many devotees of the Lord lingering in Vrindavan in the search of Krishna and his childhood associates, the gopis. It's not that such devotees meet Krishna face to face. But then Prabhupada says, such devotees see him face to face at every minute. Now, from the standpoint of a materialist, Swami Bhaktivedanta contradicted himself. However, this is something mystical or transcendental. It's not mundane. In other words, these devotees are described as seeing Krishna face to face at every minute, and also described that they don't really see him, but their hankering to see him is as good as seeing him. So, you know, which one is it? It's actually both at the same time. It's inconceivable to our mundane brains. But it's actually inconceivable, materially speaking, how you could be seeing Krishna and not seeing him and hankering to see him at the same time. It's interesting to note in this connection a verse from the Pajavali, where Srimati Radharani, this is Rupa Goswami's compilation of choice verses, the Pajavali. In this great compilation of verses by our Rupa Goswami, he cites one verse of Radharani. She is saying how she prefers to be separated from Krishna, because when she meets Krishna, she's seeing one Krishna. But when she's seeing Krishna in one place, one Krishna in one place. But when she's separated from Krishna, she experiences Krishna everywhere, unlimited Krishnas. So this, you know, here we are neophyte devotees, hardly able to even focus our minds on our rounds. And Prabhupada is giving us all this high-level knowledge to encourage us to actually get out of the modes of nature and come to the transcendental platform. We actually realize this stuff factually. I have personal experience. Prabhupada actually told me in one letter. I had written him about songwriting because formerly I was a songwriter before I joined the movement. I had written hundreds of songs and performed them in so many places. And so I asked him one time about songwriting, and he encouraged me. He said that if I qualified myself to see Krishna face to face, then I could write songs on the level of Narottam Das Thakur. Of course, I'm not there yet. I can't even dream of being close to there yet. But Prabhupada gave me that instruction. He ordered me to become qualified to see Krishna face to face. So that when I have a direct order from Prabhupada like that, and I read a purport like this, that's why this purport is very special to me. Because he's talking about devotees who are actually hankering to see Krishna face to face. And I naturally, since Prabhupada ordered me to do that, I naturally hanker to do that. And I go to Vrindavan twice a year. I spend about 2 months there. And when I go, I can't forget about this purport and the direct order I got from Srila Prabhupada to qualify myself to see Krishna face to face. One could get all morose, oh boy, I'm so unqualified, but how will I ever see Krishna in this lifetime? It just seems absolutely impossible. But then the great encouragement here is just by that eagerness to want to search, how will I become qualified? You know, just like we pray, Jagannatha Swami Nayana Patagami, you see. May Lord Jagannath come to my vision. Now one may say, but didn't Bhakti Siddhanta say, you don't try to see God? You should act in such a way that God will see you. So how can we pray to Lord Jagannath to reveal himself to us? When you're not supposed to try to see God, that's another question that comes up. Well, the answer is quite simple. You have to know what is the process of seeing. You have to be qualified for him to want to see you. So we pray to Jagannath. We're not saying, okay, Jagannath, you've got to come reveal yourself to me. No, we're not. That's not the mood of Jagannatha Swami Nayana Bhattagami. The mood is, may I become completely clean and pure and perfect in my service so that Jagannath will want to see me. You see. So when God wants to see you, then seeing God is very easy. But if you want to see God by your own, simply, I want to see God, you'll never see him. You see. But when you act in such a way that he wants to see you, then you automatically see him. Now, in this connection, there's a nice story about a thief. Prabhupada gives this story in one lecture. The thief, he was you kind of wandered into a Bhagavatam class looking for a purse to snatch or whatever, you know, looking for what he could steal. And when he was there in the class, he heard the Bhagavatam class speaker was saying how there's this boy, Krishna, and he wanders in the forest of Vrindavan loaded with valuable jewels, all alone, with no parental supervision. And this thief went, aha, I will go to Vrindavan, I will find that boy Krishna, and I will become a millionaire overnight. Prabhupada said it like that, a millionaire overnight. So this thief, he's all fired up, he's wandering, walking across India. There was no, you know, Air India or Jet Airways or the buses or the taxi cabs or the cars or bicycles. He was just walking, maybe an ox cart. But he was going, a great struggle, he went across India to go to Vrindavan. And he gets to Vrindavan, he's wandering through Vraj. Where is that boy? Where is that boy? Where is that boy? Just because he wanted money. And Prabhupada explains that Krishna is so kind, he actually revealed himself to the thief. And sure enough, when he revealed himself to the thief, it said, oh, Krishna, you have so many, as Prabhupada said it like this, you have so many valuable jewels, can you give me some? And then Krishna, playing the chastised son of Mother Jasoda, said, oh, no, Mother Jasoda has called me, Mother Jasoda has called me. I can't give you anything because I get in trouble with my mother, you know, like that. But then Krishna was very kind, actually. The thief, just being there in the presence of Krishna, even though he had all material desires, Krishna revealed himself. And by that darshan of Krishna, just like Dhruva became purified, this thief also became a pure devotee. Even though he approached with desire simply for material things, by that darshan, he became a pure devotee. And then Krishna said, all right, you can take. So, it's interesting. Even if you're coming in with material motives, Krishna can be so kind that he can reveal himself to you. What to speak of somebody who's dedicated their life to Prabhupada's mission, you see, and simply wants to, you know, serve Srila Prabhupada's mission, serve the devotees, awaken his pure love of God within the heart. How much more qualified that person is. So the reality is this. Any devotee who seriously dedicates himself to awakening his love of God under the wonderful instructions of our founder Acharya, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, is guaranteed to be able to see Krishna sooner or later. Guaranteed. Absolutely guaranteed. There's no doubt about it. It's not a question of if, it's simply a question of when. We usually think, yeah, after I leave my body, but it doesn't have to be after you leave the body. One can hanker actually to become purified enough to see Krishna even now within this present lifetime. One can hanker in that way. It may never happen, but that hankering is as good as actually experiencing it. This is the point that Prabhupada's making. The hankering to see Krishna. What has he written here? A devotee is eagerly searching after Krishna as good as seeing him personally. So, well, should I be doing it then? Should I try to do my service in such a way that Krishna will be so pleased to reveal himself to me? Sure. I'd be an idiot not to do that. To try to serve so purely, so sincerely, without any material motives. You see? So when we chant Hare Krishna, we should really be begging for pure bhakti. Begging that I can be completely free from any desire, gross or subtle desires of sense enjoyment. Simply, Krishna, bless me. I can become completely purified of all of my contamination that has kept me caught up in the cycle of birth and death for millions and millions of lifetime, you see. So if one is in that mood, he's actually as good as liberated already. Even though he may be in his material body, he might be working a job, he might be going to the office, running a business, you know, doing so many things that like an ordinary materialistic person, but such a person is not living in this material world. Factually, he's not in the material world. So in that So that's available to everybody, sannyasis, brahmacharis, householders, you know, anybody who's taken this process seriously. They are candidates to get the direct contact with the Supreme Lord Himself. They're candidates for that. So we should take this Hare Krishna very seriously. Actually, Krishna is already there. The Krishna vibration and Krishna person are absolutely one and the same. There is no difference. Do not think otherwise. This vibration, Krishna, is that very person from whom everything is emanating, who's manifesting into all the people, all the beasts, all the birds, all the worms and reptiles, the fishes and the plants. That vibration, Krishna, is that very same person. There's no difference. Krishna and his name are on the absolute platform. So we have the opportunity. In other words, Krishna, to vibrate that syllable and hear Krishna is just as good as seeing him face to face, eye to eye. There's no difference. It's simply a matter of realization. So we have to become realized in Krishna consciousness. We have to get off the mental platform. We have to get off the sukha-dukkha platform. And see that Krishna's unlimited mercy is being manifested upon us at every minute, in all times, all places, in all circumstances. And when we do that, it will be, as they say, absolutely awesome. So we just have to cultivate this consciousness. It is known as Krishna consciousness. We have a society, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, because the members are supposed to be Krishna conscious. So if you're an ISKCONer, an ISKCONite, a true ISKCONite, that means that every minute you're cultivating your Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, you're an ISKCONite in name only. You're not an ISKCONite in your heart. You understand? So, we have to become true ISKCONites, not simply in name only, actually giving all of our energy, all of our focus, all of our love should be channeled into appreciating that beautiful lotus-eyed boy who plays an incredible flute that attracts all the living entities throughout all of existence. That's why he's called Sankarshan. Sankarshan means one who attracts all living entities. Gravity is also sometimes called Sankarshan because it attracts everyone. Love gravity. So in this way, we have to awaken our Krishna consciousness and give up this foolish tendency to not surrender to Krishna. It's a foolish tendency that we've carried with us for millions and billions of births. It's unnecessary baggage which is dragging us down. This idea to be independent of God, to be an independent enjoyer, this has to be kicked out with boot. As I told the devotees this morning in Bhagavatam class, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma. See, if you want to get to the Brahma-Bhuta stage, which is the stage prior to pure bhakti, you have to kick out you have to give the influence of the modes of nature, the boot, Brahma-Bhuta, and kick it with Bhuta, out all the influence of the modes of nature. You see, there's boot and Bhuta. So Bhuta out all the influence of the modes of nature, boot out all the influences of false ego, of lust, of anger, of greed, of madness, illusion, and envy. Just be a good kicker, you see. Just like in football, they have star kickers who can kick that football better than anybody, you see. And to be star kickers, kick out all the dirt from your heart. Give it a good kick. Get it out. Get that damn crud out of your heart. fill it in with bhakti. Love for Krishna, love for Prabhupada, love for your guru, love for the devotees, love for all living entities. A devotee doesn't just love the devotees, he loves everyone because he wants to give everybody Krishna consciousness. He cannot stand to see people who are not Krishna conscious. It tears his heart apart to see somebody who is not Krishna conscious. It absolutely devastates him emotionally to see somebody who is not Krishna conscious. It's too painful for him to see someone who's caught up in the modes of nature going down to the animal kingdom in their next birth. Therefore, he wants everybody to get a book. He wants everybody to chant Hare Krishna. He wants everybody to take prasadam. He wants the whole world to join this movement. So anyway, there's a few words. Perhaps some of you have some questions. I have some local devotees here. They can ask me some questions too. But I can hear now from the internet crowd. Yes, that's fine. Verbal is okay. I'll try. You may have to help me, but my hearing is a little bit damaged in old age. But I'm hearing first class. Where you're seeing him. Absolutely. Absolutely. Go ahead. Absolutely. 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 Actually, Papa told us in San Francisco in 1971 at the Rath Yatra. He said, "You are all seeing God." There's a big crowd of devotees and a larger crowd of hippies. He said, "You are all seeing God." Because Krishna says, "I'm the light of the sun, the light of the moon." So actually, everyone is seeing God. It's a matter of different levels of seeing. Prabhupada compares it also to a mechanic. When your car breaks down, you get out your mobile phone, you call the mechanic. You lift up the hood, you don't know. You're seeing the engine, and the mechanic comes, he's also seeing the engine. But his seeing is different from your seeing because he can know exactly, he goes there, he makes a little adjustment and it works again, you see. So you're both seeing the engine. But that the qualified person, the mechanic, he sees it differently. So actually everyone is seeing Krishna. Every single living entity is seeing Krishna. But what is your degree of understanding? What is your degree of realization? That varies. And for those of us who are on the path of bhakti, yes, it is a gradual thing, like the sun rising in the morning. And there's a little glimmer. Before you see the sun globe, there's a little glimmer on the eastern horizon. It becomes brighter, brighter. And finally, a little sliver of the sun globe peeps up over the horizon. So yes, it is like that. It's absolutely correct what you're saying, Narahari Prabhu. Any other questions? I what? I'm very happy. I have a direct instructions from Srila Prabhupada. But actually, it's an interesting story in this connection because when I joined, Vishnujan Swami, I had a question one day. He said he didn't know the answer. Why don't you write Prabhupada? So when I joined, everybody could write Prabhupada. But then shortly after that, a new policy came that only the GBCs and the sannyasis and the temple presidents could write Prabhupada. But being somewhat of a renegade brahmachari who had gotten a taste of corresponding with Prabhupada, I took a real gamble and I wrote him with a question I had. And sure enough, he repeated the policy back to me, said, devotees should write consult with your GBC, temple presidents, sannyasis, and they can correspond with me like that. But then Prabhupada gave me a loophole. He was so merciful. He said, but if there's any urgent need, I'm always happy to hear from my beloved disciples. So I did it. It was for me urgent in those days as a young brahmachari. I did feel an urgent need to those days. That's why I wrote him to begin with. In spite of the policy, I felt an urgent need. And he confirmed. Oh, that one, that I don't remember. I don't remember the question. I can't remember. That must maybe it'll come back now that you asked me. It may slip back in, but yeah, I forgot what what the question was that Vishnujan told me to write Prabhupada. But I know I had a whole series of questions at one point about drinking water in the. I mean, technical stuff: drinking water in the kitchen or not drinking water in the kitchen. Because there was different schools of thought at that time. And actually, Prabhupada, I gave him a huge list of questions. Prabhupada had Satsarupa Maharaja answer the letter with all. I still have that letter from Satsarupa Maharaja, a huge letter. I asked so many questions. Maybe that was the one. Prabhupada just passed it on to Satsarupa. It was all these detailed questions. Because there were so many different opinions, you know. One authority would say, you can drink water in the kitchen. The other says, no, you can't drink water in the kitchen. So what does Prabhupada want? It was confusing to me. But I got a very nice letter from Satsarupa Maharaj, or he was Satsarupa Das Adhikari at the time, I believe, yes. And it was very helpful that Prabhupada had him answer all those detailed questions of mine. So another question? Actually, everyone has their own personal Prabhupada. It's a fact. Everybody has their own, just like every gopi in the rasa dance, every queen in Dwarka, everybody has, Prabhupada is totally there for each and is fully, totally there for each and every sincere follower, disciple and grand disciple, great grand disciple, great great grand disciple. Prabhupada is fully accessible to everyone. That's absolutely true. And there's some interesting stories in this connection to prove it. Actually, an interesting pastime that happened in New Vrindavan many years ago when it kind of went off the track. They had Prabhupada dressed up as a king with a royal scepter and a crown and everything. So there was some group of, they were doing tours of Prabhupada's palace, and some Christian lady came in with a tour that when Prabhupada is dressed up like a king with a royal scepter and a crown. And she got the voice said, take my shoes, take my shoes, take my shoes. A lady was a Buddha. This voice told her, you have to take my shoes. And she surrendered to it. And she took the shoes and took them home. Because the voice told her, she surrendered to this voice that said, take my shoes. And she took the shoes home. And then many years after the whole thing was rectified and they had Prabhupada properly being worshipped again, the voice said, now take my shoes back. And she took him back, or she bailed him back, actually, at that time, and told the whole story. So it's amazing. Even a non-devotee, Prabhupada had communicated to her to get my shoes out of this place. They're not worshiping me properly. You know, get my shoes out of here. And then when it was reestablished, he had the shoes sent back. It's amazing how Prabhupada acted through a non-devotee. What to speak of how he can reciprocate with those who are sincerely trying to follow him. And Prabhupada is mystically present for every single sincere follower. That's a fact. It's not just some theoretical idea, but Prabhupada actually gave an instruction to this woman. So such things are possible. And so Prabhupada is available to everyone. And all the acharyas are actually fully available and communicate directly. With it. It's possible. All the way up the whole line. So but Prabhupada's personal instructions are there in his purports. His purports are personal instructions. When you read a purport, you can take it personally. Prabhupada is telling me this. That's very clear because one may imagine so many things, but Prabhupada's instructions are, Prabhupada's purports are personal instructions to you. Every devotee can take it that way. These are Prabhupada is personally telling me this. Whatever is there in his books, Prabhupada is personally telling you that. You've got tons of, every devotee has tons of personal instructions from Srila Prabhupada. That's a fact. That's right. And he glorified that prostitute in his writings. She became a siksha guru for him. He glorified that prostitute. So yes, just like another example, they said, well, Prabhupada, when you're not present, how will we know if you're pleased or not? Prabhupada said the GBC and temple presidents are there. So through senior devotees, Prabhupada can speak to us through the mouth of senior devotees who are acting as his instruments. That's a fact. The senior devotees who are purely representing Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada can speak right through them, loud and clear. That's a fact. Anything else? Any other comment? Enlightening, wonderful, uplifting realizations from my beloved God brothers? Yeah, it's a fact. And that, therefore, we have to read the books. Whatever we have to see that everything is confirmed in the books. If it's not confirmed in the... Yeah. Prabhupada's books are the standard by which we can understand what's bona fide and what isn't. His books are the authority. As we've always said, that old slogan, you know, the law books for the next 10,000 years, it's absolutely a fact. You have to judge everything by the books. Is this spiritual master bona fide? Just like some new devotee is looking for a guru, well, read Prabhupada's books and see who's a living embodiment of his books, who always speaks what's in the books, who follows the teachings of the books. The books are the standard for our society. Prabhupada's books are the standard. The GBC is not independent. They have to follow the books. That's absolutely true. Prabhupada confirms what you're saying. In London, some lady said, can't I just read the books? Prabhupada said, no. Can I just take a spiritual master in the air by reading the books? Prabhupada said, no, don't take a guru in the air and make a guru concrete. So it's a fact. That's why we have a three-way check and balance system. You have guru, sadhu, and shastra. You know the books are legitimate and you properly understand the books by hearing from the spiritual master and the senior devotees. That's how you confirm that you're getting a proper understanding of the books. And you understand who is a spiritual master by the books and the senior devotees. You understand who is a senior devotee by the spiritual master and the books. So it's a three, just like in the U.S., we have the judicial branch, the legislative branch, and the whatever it is, executive branch. So you similarly have the shastra, the sadhus, and guru. It's a three-way check and balance system in Krishna consciousness also. And if you think about it, a tripod stands solidly, three legs. Take out one leg, that tripod's going to fall over. Take out two legs, it's already down on the floor. So, you know, you got to have three legs to have a solid foundation. So we have a three-leg solid foundation of guru, sadhu, and shastra. If you just try to take out the shastra, you get sahajism. Take away the sadhus, you may get bogus gurus. In this way, you got to have all three. And then you know you're properly situated. Thank you for reminding us of that, Prabhu. Well, you have to. The only way to know is to be an advanced devotee yourself. Otherwise, you can't really. Well, you can make a judgment call based on the scriptures, the sadhus, and the guru. To actually know for sure who's advanced, you have to become advanced. But for us neophytes who aren't advanced, like me, you have to judge on the basis of, guru, sadhu, and shastra, and hope for the best. Krishna is also the super soul within the heart. He can guide from within. One thing is, there's a saying, time will tell. We had devotees in ISKCON we thought were very advanced, and now in the lap of Maya right now, so... It's sometimes very difficult to judge. That's why you have to always keep yourself rooted in Prabhupada's books and the shelter of those who you can see are following Prabhupada's books. Oh, well, is it Kanishta? Is it? Yeah, that's right. To really appreciate an advance, you have to become an advanced. That's a thing. That's right. Absolutely. You know, Prabhupada explains in his books that even a Mahabhagavat, if he hears Mayavadi philosophy, can fall down. A Mahabhagavat, Prabhupada said. Normally we say, Another place, Prabhupada says, a Majjhim and Uttava cannot fall down. Only Kanishas can fall down in one place. But another place, he says, even a Mahabhagavat can fall down if he hears Mayavadi philosophy. So, but one thing is, whatever advancement one makes is his eternal asset, even if his assets are frozen for some time due to his falling under the influence of the modes of nature. When he reestablishes himself in the practice of Krishna consciousness, he picks up where he left off. He doesn't start from square one again. He picks up where he left off. I know some devotees who were very advanced. They fell down. They came back, and they're very advanced again. Even though they had a fall down period, they're very advanced senior devotees who I look up to as my superiors, even though they had a fall down period. One minute here. I got somebody asking me a question here. What is it?
Balabhadra asking a question.
Okay, there's something in the chat window. Okay. One could appear advanced in terms of behavior and speech and in terms of guru, shastra, sadhu in the public, but not in private. Yeah, one may appear, someone may be a very expert showman, just like a Hollywood actor can look like a great saint on the screen, but be a complete rogue and rascal off the set. So somebody can look like a very advanced devotee, but they're actually behind the scenes, they're a scoundrel. It's possible, yeah. Yeah. So we have to think, well, let me not be a scoundrel. We have to always, you know, we first have to always think, well, I got to be careful. I could be the scoundrel. You know, we have to always look, we should be very much diligent to look for our own faults. That's our first business. Find out our own faults. Be more eager to find faults in ourselves than in others. Of course, we have to see discrepancies in others as well, so you know who to follow, who's purely... I have to distinguish between who's strictly following Prabhupada and who isn't, because I'm going to take my inspiration, blessings, guidance, etc., from those ISKCON devotees who are strictly following. And those who are not, I have to be kind to them. So I have to make a distinction, but it's not that it's a fault-finding mood. I want to see the good qualities also in the devotees who are not very fixed up. I want to see their good. As Tamal one time said, the spiritual master sees the spark of bhakti in the heart of the neophyte. He fans it into a blazing fire. So a senior devotee, he looks for the good in everyone. But at the same time, he can see who's properly situated and who's not. So he knows where he gets his real strength. What Sangha gives him his real strength and where he needs to give strength to others who are needing the help. In this way. Okay, anything else from the wonderful Sangha? You all are beautiful people. That's all I can say. You're beautiful people, and I love you. And thank you for letting me come on. Hare Krishna. Jai, Hare Krishna.